Spirit Radio Podcasts.
As the COVID-19 pandemic spreads around the globe, some of the countries from which Church in Chains regularly reports on, such as China, Iran and Pakistan, have been very badly affected indeed. On the line to tell us more about what effects COVID-19 is having on the persecuted church overseas and to tell us about the final week of the Lenten Prayer Project, we have David Turner, Director of Church in Chains. How are you, David? How are you?
I'm alive and well, thank you, Ronan.
Good, keeping safe, good man. But first of all, David, in Ireland we are incredibly lucky that we are able to now put church services online, to have online prayer meetings through video calls such as Zoom, etc., and to safely worship from our homes. But largely speaking, it's already very difficult for Christians to practice their faith, like in countries like China, Iran, due to persecution. What is the situation in these countries at the moment?
Yes, I suppose it's a varied picture across the different countries. I suppose if we start with China, where the coronavirus first emerged, it was centered, as we all know now, in the province of Hubei, and especially its capital, Wuhan, which is just beginning to emerge from lockdown now. So, in that province, like all across China, the Chinese government would permit a certain number of churches to operate, called the Three Self Patriotic Movement, or the Chinese official Chinese Catholic Church. But because of the virus, they were all closed down. Now, some of the permitted churches were allowed to move things online, just like we have here, but there were other areas, and particularly Shandong province, where they just banned all online preaching. So, I mean, we have a site of a document that says all live stream preaching should be stopped immediately.
Wow.
And what we are hearing is that, they were aware, the authorities were aware, they were said some people are still meeting together secretly. Please check for them earnestly. And these fellowships must be completely eradicated. So the crackdown on the Chinese church continues, and there's a very dramatic picture on our website showing a cross being removed from a church. You'd remember, Ronan, in the last 2 or 3 years there's been this huge campaign to remove crosses from church buildings.
Yeah.
And we've become familiar with those pictures coming into us from China. But there was a new twist on the latest picture that we got in, because you can see a government official at the top of the church getting ready to remove the cross, and he's wearing a face mask.
Yeah.
So it goes to show that as regards that man and the authorities in China, the war against the church is very much continuing.
Absolutely, and it's become even more ferocious. It's like they have the actual social distancing thing to lean on as an excuse almost to persecute the church in some ways.
Yes, indeed, and quite a number of human rights activists and advocates have become very concerned at the fact that the spread of the coronavirus has allowed the Chinese government to use it as a pretext for introducing ever more invasive surveillance tactics. So, I mean, that would be a general concern among the population in China, but, particularly in relation to Christians, that they've always wanted to keep an eye on what Christians are doing, where they're meeting, what they're teaching, who's doing the leading, are their children there, and these new surveillance techniques certainly will make it easier for them to continue this campaign. But, this isn't the first time people have thought that the church has no future in China. And we have seen God at work in a mighty way in that country since the communist revolution in the late 1940s. The church has been through purges of various sorts, and the word coming out from various Chinese church leaders is we're keeping going. And, I believe God will continue to be with his church in China and build his church in China no matter what comes against it.
Yeah, God always seems to have other plans, you know, better plans. Now, we've heard reports that some Christians have been granted release from prison due to stopping the spread of COVID-19, I suppose famously in Iran. You know, you hear, because it's so bad in Iran, that they're afraid that people are going to end up dying in prison. What have you heard?
Yes, indeed. As you mentioned, like Iran certainly was one of the worst hit countries with coronavirus. Over 3,000 people have died there, over 47,000 cases. And a few weeks back, the Iranian government began to get really concerned about the virus spreading through prisons. So they made the decision to give temporary release to prisoners who are serving relatively short sentences. So Marok Kanbari, who was the subject of prayer last week in our Lent Prayer Project, she was given temporary release at the beginning of March, on the 2nd of March. But just last week, when, of course, was the week we were praying for her, and, you know, those prayers had been prepared many weeks
in advance. Exactly, yeah.
The news came through that she had been fully released from her sentence. And even just in the last couple of days, we found out how it happened. She actually returned to the prison last Thursday, and she was told, "You're no longer needed. You're released. You're free to go. You don't have to come back and complete your sentence." So we were really overjoyed to hear that news. Marok is a 62-year-old woman. She got in trouble just because she held a Christian meeting in her home that was raided by the authorities. And she was arrested. She was interrogated. And, you know, when we use the word interrogated in Iran, I think many of us maybe don't get the full meaning of that word, because usually it involves quite a lot of threats, intimidation, sometimes physical violence.
Sure.
And often a pressure on the Christian to return to Islam, because the vast bulk of Christians who are arrested in Iran are those who have come to the Lord from a Muslim background. So Marok has been through an awful lot, and it's just great that she is now released, and she can be at home with her husband, Ali, and he's an older man, and he has been really struggling during her time in prison. So we're rejoicing with Marok Kanbari that she is free.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I mean, I suppose famously Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, you know, she's there and she's been released. She's just been released, famously released, but released on kind of, you know, having to come back. So to have a story like this where somebody's just released and then told, nah, actually you can stay released if you want, it's an amazing thing. It just shows the power of prayer, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed, yes. You know, that's the first call that the persecuted church makes when they're in communication with the outside world. You know, this is what is happening to us here.
Yes.
Please pray for us. Please remember us. And so
absolutely,
for us in Church in Chains, it's always been the first thing that we ask our supporters in Ireland to do. Prayer can often lead to actions of various sorts. It can mobilize people to maybe want to respond to a particular need. And sometimes that can mean, you know, that it's right to get in touch with an embassy, it's right to petition an embassy, it's right to hold a protest march to expose the injustice in that country. And then sometimes it can inspire people to want to give financially to help those who are in great need because they're being persecuted. But it really all begins with prayer, as God moves people's hearts.
Absolutely. David Turner, Director of Church in Chains, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again soon. That's churchinchains.ie. Thank you, David. God bless.
Thank you very much, Ronan. Spirit.
We had a relatively mild but longish winter and are suddenly into spring and have been having plenty of sunny and dry weather in the last 2 weeks. Not particularly warm, some of it, but sunny. Flowers are popping up, leaves are appearing on the trees, but with this comes flying pollens and the start of hay fever season. I dread it every year, I can tell you, and it's come later than most for me because I normally get it kind of in mid-February when it's still awful, and it didn't happen this year. But with some of the symptoms of hay fever being similar to mild symptoms of COVID-19, is this something we need to be mindful of? I couldn't tell you how often over the last couple of weeks I've said, it's not the virus, it's asthma. On the line now to tell us more, we have nutritional therapist Alex Dobbs from Grassroots Nutrition. You're very welcome to the show, Alex. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me on, Ronan.
So first of all, briefly, can you explain to the listeners what is hay fever?
Yeah. So hay fever is a variety of seasonal allergies. Allergies to pollen in your locality, generally, you know, mostly we start to show symptoms around now. You seem to be quite an early one, but it's watery eyes, itchy eyes, runny nose, hives, itches and breathlessness. And half of those people would generally have asthma as well.
That's me.
So
yeah.
They take medication possibly if needed.
Absolutely. I think I get something to do with trees. So when I moved around, it was possibly the worst possible place to move house because where I was, it was fine. But, you know, the weird thing is that once you get into this kind of season, it's pretty much open season for hay fever, isn't it? Because you have flowers, you have trees, you have grass, you have all sorts of things going on, don't you?
I know. Well, the grass luckily takes a little bit longer to mature. That's the summer then.
That's later on. Okay.
I know. And you with your trees, it's the evergreens that start very early.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so how do the symptoms differ from, say, something like the common cold?
Yeah, it can be very confusing. So hay fever sufferers, you know, you can expect symptoms now. You all of a sudden develop a stuffy nose, shortness of breath. Your eyes are dry maybe in the mornings when you wake up. So, you know, as a hay fever sufferer, I'm sure you've been advised to keep your usual remedy or your medication at hand.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it can come on quite quickly or develop over a few days. But with common cold, you would also feel cold, you know, shivery. You would have had an incident where you remember, oh yeah, I got cold there, or I was with a person who was sneezing. You would be low in energy, maybe have coloured phlegm that you're coughing up or that your nose produces, and you'd also have a sore throat. So I can relate to the fact that it can be very difficult to identify whether it's hay fever related or common cold related, but I always think it's, you know, when you're low in energy and the funny coloured phlegm, usually that's the
and
away from you.
It's interesting too, isn't it? Because I couldn't tell you how often, as a hay fever sufferer, you get people saying, oh, I've got a summer cold, and you're going, I bet that's hay fever.
Yes.
You know, it's because in a way that's kind of one of the things that you think. Now, we were talking specifically about COVID, and I was joking a little bit, but I have had some little looks, you know, over the time when I just, and you're trying desperately not to cough at the moment because you're very aware that that's what people are looking for. Difference between COVID-19 and, say, a hay fever type.
Yeah, in terms of symptoms, there's probably some overlap of those symptoms. And, you know, people are very right to be alert and to be, you know, really checking their own symptoms. So most importantly with COVID, it's the irritated throat or, you know, stuffy nose and shortness of breath that are sort of similar to hay fever.
Sure.
So it's important to be vigilant and self-check when these symptoms fit. Now, I'm not a medical practitioner, but looking at symptoms that people often, experiencing and the official lines. So it causes shortness of breath, but it's only as a, like, it's not the first symptom. And it would be the shortness of breath that it is caused by walking up the stairs and having to stop halfway up the stairs.
Gotcha.
And that there, it's inflammation of the lung, and in asthma, it's inflammation of the airway, or in hay fever, it's inflammation of the airways as well.
Yeah.
But the sore throat would usually precede that breathlessness with COVID.
Yeah. And the other thing...
You would have been sick for a while, and all of a sudden getting a lot worse.
And of course, that high heat they're talking about on the chest and back. The other thing that did occur to me was that they're saying the cough is in no way productive with COVID. So that would be a big difference, wouldn't it?
That's the dry cough at the start, exactly when your throat is very, very sore. And that's your body trying to get rid of the virus building up in your throat. And it's only when your immune system can't fight that virus in the throat, it can travel to other sites in the body. So it's a second stage of that infection in a way. You know, it ends up being in the lungs. But mostly people would have noticed by then that they have a fever, they have been coughing or just feeling unwell. And it coincides with you feeling very unwell when you have that breathlessness.
Absolutely. Now, can we talk a little bit about the nutrition part when it comes to pollen allergies or hay fever? Is there any way that nutrition can help with these?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, a well-fed body is a happy body. A well-fed immune system works well for you. So boosting your immune system is absolutely key to start being healthy and fighting off viruses. And it's also worth stating that the WHO chief made this his top tip on preventing COVID-19. So his top tip number one was nutrition. So make sure you eat lots of fresh produce, take time to cook. You know, we're inside a lot more now and we do have more time to cook and prepare our meals. So make sure you do that. Eat 3 to 4 portions of vegetables a day, you know, including with lunch and dinner, like at least 2 meals of vegetables.
Very good.
Eat 1 to 2 servings of fruit. Make sure you get adequate hydration, which is really important, especially if your body is fighting a virus. Sipping away water, you know, as you're working or whatever, boosts concentration, helps flush out waste, and it ensures a smooth running of the body. So about 1.5 liters a day is what we're aiming for. That's 6 to 8 regular glasses of water, which if you just make yourself drink it, eventually your body will develop a thirst for it, you know?
Absolutely. I was thinking too, one of the things you mentioned a couple of weeks back when we were talking, might be even longer, the idea of inflammation and, you know, things like sugars and yeasts and stuff that can create a kind of inflammation, or even you know, gluten or whatever it may happen to be that can create an inflammation. Does that impact on things like allergies?
I mean, your healthy system is a happy system. So if your gut is not happy, then your immune system can't work properly, because 70% of your immune system is produced in the gut.
Wow.
So looking after your gut and keeping yeast away from it. Sugar is an anti-nutrient anyway. It actually drains your body of resources trying to process it. So there's no point in eating too much sugar. But in terms of, just trying to keep your gut well, you know, eat lots of fruit and vegetables, especially vegetables, eat whole grains. Those that agree with you, eat 3 regular meals, have breaks between meals, you know, don't snack away all the time, because that's not great for your tummy and your gut either.
And the other thing I meant to ask you about was, you know, something that came up over the last week. Now, we know vitamin C is quite good for cutting down, you know, mucus and phlegm and various things like that. But people started speaking about vitamin D as some sort of protection. Could you explain that to us?
Yeah, as a nutritional therapist, I'd often recommend maybe individual vitamins for times. And vitamin D is one that has been totally overlooked by, I think, general health advice. It's more like a hormone than a vitamin. It's absolutely essential to your immune system working, and it actually also helps us be well in ourselves and healthy and for skin to have integrity and all that. So it's absolutely essential that we have it. But over half of adults are deficient or grossly deficient in it in Ireland. So from October to March or April, definitely take your recommended daily intake. And if you want to take it now to help prevent the COVID really taking foot in your body, by all means do that as well.
Yeah.
And it's actually been recommended by researchers. I should have put the study in front of my eyes. I can't remember, was it Trinity or UCD that came up with it? But
okay.
Yeah, recommended.
Brilliant. Nutritional therapist Alexandra Dobbs from Grassroots Nutrition, thank you so much for talking to us today. God bless you and thanks for joining us. That's Alex Dobbs there. Grassrootsnutrition.ie is the website. Spirit. It's such an uncertain time for second level students at the moment, and none more so than those preparing to sit the Leaving Cert exams in June. We have one of them in our home, actually, at the moment, and it's really, really bad. Their year includes hopes of entering third level education in September, have been thrown into confusion by the indefinite closure of schools. It's also a confusing time for anyone on a gap year who might already have a Leaving Cert but are hoping to apply to the CAO to enter university in the autumn. And on the line now to share some advice for Leaving Cert students and others hoping to enter third level education in September, we have Midlands-based guidance counsellor Betty McLaughlin. You're very welcome to the show, Betty. How are you?
Hey, Ronan.
So, first of all, Betty, how are you and your own school getting on?
Well, they're doing fine, really. Look, I mean, it's business as usual as far as the department are concerned until we hear more. And, you know, I know they're working on plans behind the scenes and everything, and I'm sure, you know, they can't really reveal those plans until everything is airtight. So as far as students for Leaving Cert are concerned, they just have to keep working, you know, and it won't do them any harm they've built up those skills for when they do go to third level. Yeah.
It's not really fairy fair on them, though, is it? Has to be said.
Well, it is difficult. It's difficult for everybody at the moment in every walk of life, and it is tough on those students, you know?
Yeah, and in the sense that, I mean, certainly in my lifetime, and I'm not a no-spring chicken, I can't imagine this. I can't think of a Leaving Cert year that where it was this uncertain before, you know?
Yeah.
I suppose in terms of helping them keep their focus, and you know, some people, you know, again, this is part of the unfairness. My young guy has absolutely no problem keeping focus is his thing, but there's other people now who have very, very great difficulty keeping focus. So it just means it favours the people who have a natural ability to do that too, doesn't it?
Well, it does, yeah. And I suppose the only thing I could say to those people, it is hard to keep focused, but even during the year when they're in school, a number of students, it's never a one size fits all.
Sure.
I would say to them, try and keep a structure on their day. Get up at their usual time if they can at all. Have a little plan for themselves. Eat well, sleep well, and exercise within the restrictions, of course. And within that, plan, do a study plan. Have a little plan every day. Make the plan in the morning. I'm going to do a few subjects today. I'm going to try out a few test papers. I'm going to look at the past papers and the past marking schemes to see, you know, then if I did them right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best they can do, is, you know, even to distract themselves. If you keep in a routine, it's very good for stress levels.
Absolutely, so right. It calms everything down. Puts the brakes on the old anxiety, though, there's no doubt, you know.
It distracts you from what's going on, because it's out of everybody's hands, really, because we have never in a country experienced this before.
Exactly.
So it is terribly difficult, you know, and everybody wants the best for everybody.
It's interesting too, like I was talking to Breed O'Brien for the Irish Times last week, and she's a teacher too, and she was saying, look, you know, I don't have any secret information, I know nothing, but she says it'd be really, really hard to cancel the Leaving Cert, because our whole entry system into third level is so dependent on it, and when people make kind of parallels between the A-level teachers, you know, and what's going on over there, and where the, you know, effectively those, she said, like, there's 20 years of training that's gone in to the kind of assessment that A-level teachers are doing, and effectively Leaving Cert teachers don't have that training.
Yes, that's true. And when students in the UK apply for their course, as many would have done here through a UCAS application, they really do take the predicted grades into account before they offer what they consider a conditional offer. They look at those predicted grades, they offer a conditional offer to the student and say, well, if you get X, Y, and Z, you have your course, you know?
Yeah.
It's a completely different system.
Sure.
The maximum subjects they do over there are 4 subjects for their,
well, exactly,
the equivalent of the Leaving Cert.
Almost like a first-year college situation, isn't it? Sometimes
exactly.
They're A-level,
and
yeah.
And the standard then, because they do, so, you know, that many less subjects, their standard in those subjects would be, they would have studied them more deeply and at a higher level than if they were doing 7 subjects, you know?
So, Betty, what stage is the CAO process at? Would you normally be talking to students at the moment about finalising their college choices?
We would, actually, because there will be an opportunity coming in May where students can go in, those who have registered already. They can still make a late application up to the 1st of May as well. It is an extra fee, but it's not too bad. And So there's every opportunity to make a fresh application if you want, even to take out any courses you had in and any courses you had out. So this is the ideal time, actually, to, you know, start researching all your course options thoroughly. Looking, when you're doing that, you know, choosing the course that taps into your interests and your skills. If you want to excel in a course, you need to have the aptitude and the interest for that course. And looking at the type of career you have, you know, for example, if you enjoy science, if you enjoy working with people, you might like to study science with an eye towards a specific healthcare career path, you know, or for those, and if there are students who are particularly unsure about the direction they wish to take, this research at the moment now, this is the opportune time, it's more important than ever. And, you know, just, you know, how to address these issues, really, I suppose, consider what do you want from further education? Do you want to go to college? Do you want to do a post-Leaving Cert course? Do you want to do an apprenticeship? Would you like to be training and get paid on the job and do half and half in the workplace, putting the theory into practice that you're learning? The apprenticeship courses have improved drastically.
Absolutely.
In the last few years.
Yeah, massive difference. Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking how, you know, increasingly people are seeing the kind of apprentice idea, and you know, like it was always there subtly, you know, I mean, like for instance, you know, barristers effectively are apprentices, you know, therapists, psychotherapists, you know, it's all done by apprenticeship. You can't actually learn from purely from a book. So increasingly more and more apprenticeships are taking over in kind of what we would have considered to be the classically the university kind of end of things.
That's right.
Which is no harm, you know.
Kind of a dual learning. You can even become a chartered accountant now.
Absolutely.
By starting off with the Accounting Technicians of Ireland.
Absolutely.
Or the Institute. You can become a chartered insurer through the Institute of Insurance. You
might make a much better one, in fact.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're talking about no college fees. You're talking about getting paid on the job. You're talking about 22,000 a year in some cases, starting off.
Sure.
In those kind of apprenticeships, and nothing, you know, you're not at any disadvantage whatsoever.
Absolutely. Now, there was one particular area I talked about earlier on. It mightn't be your area, Betty, but I just thought you might have some thoughts on it. You know, the people who did the Leaving Cert last year took a gap year, but decided and deferred third level. Where does this leave them?
It's the same thing, really. I mean, if they deferred a course, for example, whatever happens, that course is kept for them. And, you know, if they deferred it, it's kept whether the points go up or the points go down. That's guaranteed that they will get that.
Yeah.
So all those students would have to do, if they have done this, is go back into their CAO application form, tick the deferral box, put in their Leaving Cert number from last year, and the CAO will have all the rest of the information.
Brilliant.
If any students took a gap year this year, and if they had done a PLC course, that will have been helpful. If they were working, they can still apply, put in a fresh application for any of the things we said. You could do another PLC course if you would prefer that. You could do you could still apply to the CAO, or you could apply to the apprenticeship. And apprenticeshipireland.ie, solace.ie will bring them into all those apprenticeships that are available to them. Obviously the CAO.ie, the college website. A lot of colleges are actually doing virtual open days now, so that for students who couldn't visit the college in advance, they can go in and, you know, they'll bring them through a tour, a virtual tour online.
Yes, I saw that. Brilliant.
Which is
brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah,
it's actually excellent.
Yeah, so good.
So it's everything, the same opportunities are still there to the students who took the gap year as were there last year. So they're not at any disadvantage, you know?
Great. Listen, it's great talking to you, Betty. Thank you for your help and your calm advice.
Very happy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. We talked to you again last time.
Bye-bye.
Next time. That's Mullingar-based guidance counsellor and former president of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors, Betty McLaughlin. Spirit. Now, we've been talking to priests and pastors around the country about how they've been adjusting to the government's physical distancing measures and how their church communities are continuing to function and make a positive contribution within their own local communities. And this morning, I'm delighted to have Rob Carley, who, as well as doing some amazing work on mental health awareness, is pastor at the Life Centre in Raheny in North Dublin. You're very welcome back to the show, Rob. How are you, man?
How are you? We're all hanging in here in the north side.
Absolutely. Well, God bless the work. First of all, Rob, can you tell us a little bit about the Life Centre?
The Life Centre, it's a small little faith group. Myself and my wife, Karen, felt led of the Lord to plant it. I think it's 7 years ago now. So we were formerly in St. Mark's and had some fantastic leaders and teachers and pastors in there, and just as well as the council stage, because actually, you know what, in my valley, I need to look after the people in my area, and really felt led of God to come out here. Two things God really laid on our heart was mental health and senior citizens, which I believe they're the two.
Wow, they're really talk about come to the fore in the last little while. Wow,
honestly, it's a space where you're kind of going, like, for such a time as this, I suppose. And listen, we're not the only church that focus on mental health and senior citizens, but it's just what God has put on our hearts. So we've gathered a group of fantastic people. And I suppose, if I was to ask what's different about us, we're quite an intimate church.
Yeah.
And everything I say around, I'm not saying that, we just really care with each other. We absolutely love each other. I know, because we're small, I think if everyone turned up on the same day, we might have 30 people in the room. So it's
gotcha.
Easy with these numbers. So it's... But like people matter.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful to have the kind of that kind of ability to create something with a small decent group who are really committed, and what happens as a result of it. So how That sounds to me like this could have been quite a challenge, you know, given the fact that that kind of connection is so important.
Yeah. So intimacy and connection and touch and hugs and
laughing and crying
and joking and slagging.
How have people been adjusting to the cancellation then of religious services?
Everyone's very gracious, I suppose. And I suppose one of the incredible things is that because of the heart that people have, like, we're just going, whatever it takes. So it's really whatever it takes. So, you know, I was thinking during the week, it's a bit like when Joshua was taught to walk around Jericho. The seven times, I'm sure on time five, everyone was going, like, here we go again. Are these walls never going to fall down?
It's like an ah lads moment. Ah lads, come on.
You get up on the Sunday and you go, so today it's seven times around, and you're having a laugh. that diligence and sticking to the, I was calling, like, I'll tell you about it in a second. We had our senior citizens club yesterday online, which was just crazy. But I finished up by me now, Ronan, this, and I've been watching your lockdown worship.
Oh, shit.
And it's the only worship he's ever done when someone was locked. So I'm really, really impressed with it. We were watching these things, and I was, at the end of it yesterday, they always finished this club with a sing song. So I sang Ireland's Call. We are all answering Ireland's Call. The Taoiseach called us to stay at home. He called us to not touch. He called us to socially distance, to self-isolate. And they're all hard calls. Like, a call is never easy. It's never like, if a call was easy, everyone would just jump up and do it. That's why calls to faith and calls to pastor and calls to lead ministries, they're not easy.
Sure.
And I think in this space, all our church has stood up to the call. Like, we all, they don't just have a call. I'm just a pastor. I'm blessed to be the shepherd. And I was thinking this morning, like, if you read Psalm 23, the shepherd's job is to find the good water, find the green pastures. So I'm sure shepherds in Palestine had days when the drought was so tough, there wasn't much green grass.
Absolutely.
And it was their job to find it. So I think as a pastor, it's my role is to kind of facilitate, how could we, as you say, replicate that intimacy in that. So we're the first church of the Zoom.
Yeah, that's
I think everyone's doing it.
And how is that working for you guys?
It's just gorgeous. It's gorgeous in its roughness. The way we do church is, like, I would happily say, like, I get up and say, oh, the slides aren't working, I don't know what happened, maybe we do something else instead. So it's not very formatted, it's ordered, but not chaotic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's a kind of a grace from your people, because you've got that kind of strong relationship to be able to go,
I don't mind saying, listen, I don't mind saying I got it wrong, because it happens quite a lot, so I have to say it quite a lot. So I would share, I'm probably one of the only pastors who shares it, listen, well, I'll tell you what I did wrong this week, my blessed journey of victories. I would kind of say, look, got up this week, ended up being angry, don't know what was happening to me, had to go before God. And it's in that honesty and that vulnerability, and I know, you know, like, you'd be very aware of Brené Brown's the power of vulnerability.
For sure.
I just think that really applies to church as well.
Honesty
and integrity. And that space leads us to our ministry with senior citizen mental health, because, you know, a lot of people would have heard about me and my ministry because I'm very open about my own journey of mental health, and suffering with panic attacks and going through depression and dealing with massive grief, and just being aware that God was with me in all those spaces. Didn't always acknowledge that he was there, didn't always like that he was there.
I remember he was there. Absolutely.
But that story brings people to it. So yesterday we had Joy, and Joy is what we call our senior citizens club. It was just older youth. We started with about 20 people coming to it. We now have about 160. Sometimes it peaks at about 200.
Wow. That's amazing. What an outreach. That's incredible. Yeah.
And it's not the Holy Joe Club. Like, this thing, and we dance and we laugh and we do party pieces, and then every time I share a little story from God. And the story I shared online yesterday was, because I'm at home clearing out sheds and gardens and pieces, I have a skip in the garden, and I said, you know what, sometimes God says to me, Rob, you need to get stuff out of your life. And I said, and when the skip is collected, I'll never see it again. And that's what God tells me about mistakes I've made. If I bring them to him, he'll throw them away and remember them no more. So it's that simple. It's that simple version of God's love.
And you know what you're describing, I know it's an acronym for just older youth, but that is just joy. That is joy. Yeah. You know, that's beautiful. Yeah. You know, so I'm just wondering, how are you going to, what happens around, say, you know, like a busy time like Easter? What happens, what's going to happen, do you think, for you guys?
So at Easter, we're going to have to, the critical thing is stick to the rules. It's like, we've been asked to stay at home, we've been asked not to travel, and even if we did live within I jokingly, when we're doing Zoom every week, I jokingly say Karen, who's my wife, is actually just, she's the heart of this church, I say, well, Karen's going to come out on her bike now and take the offering, so just throw it out your window. So,
oh, that's bad, man.
But see, here's the blessing, because we're small and we've no overheads and no pastor staff, no ministry staff, it doesn't matter. So what we said with our offerings and our tithes is, I said, look, sow this in locally, sow this to someone near your house.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. And when we get back together again, we can do the tithes and the offerings for the rent and the expenses, whatever we have. But at the minute, we're community focused. We're like, let's sow into our communities.
Yeah.
We have two of our people are frontline workers. And we pray for them constantly, Andrew and Betty, and they're on the front line, and their families are at risk because they have to come home every
night. God bless them. Yeah, you're dead right, yeah.
There's a lot of stress and tension. We have kids at home. We have the incredible Abigail and Brian at home, and they're living in apartments and struggling with space and missing friends, and we pray for them. With my grandkids, with other people's grandkids that we're not getting to see. We have people with underlying health conditions. And they're So church is a great place for bringing all of that. And like, I'm sitting in my own sitting room here, and there's a plaque just on our fireplace that just says, "Be still and know that I am." Doesn't even say that I am God.
Be still and know that I am. Beautiful.
And in that space, you know, I just think pastors' roles these days is to mind the sheep and remind them that, listen, be still and know that He is.
Yeah.
Look, this isn't chaotic. This is unwanted, and it's unloved and unliked, and it's a tough space. But what a time for us to shine as love. What a time to kind of say, listen, He said, don't be afraid. So I'm going to spread that. He said, I'll give you peace. I'm going to spread that. He said, I want you to be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. I want to spread that. And He said, look, I want you to mind the weak. And that's our role as a church, whether there's a plague or no plague, whether it's an epidemic or a pandemic or whatever's going. Our role doesn't change. We're supposed to be His people in this earth. And honestly, I get it wrong lots of times, Ronan. Sometimes I get it right, and it feels fabulous.
Yeah.
But, and that's where the Life Centre in Raheny, we're a church of people who are trying to find a way with God through His scripture and through our love for Him and for each other. And honestly, I am honoured and blessed to have the privilege of that being part of my life.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I love that. Be still and know that I am. That's a final thought for those who are fearful and confused about where God is in all of this. Be still and know that I am. Lovely, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us today. That's Rob Carley, pastor of the Life Church. Thanks a million. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.